Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
My request was in no way a disparagement of Mr. Milstead's job and the work that's done. My concern was because their job results in a legal decision that's binding that you cannot review, perhaps some information from a lawyer would be helpful for the board. And so that's where I was coming from, Mr. Milstead.
So Mayor Heather Lindsay in the city of Milton. This is part three, by the way. If you're just tuning in and you're just waking up and listening, you missed all the backstory from parts one and two. Go back and listen to the podcast, 5 and 6 o'clock hour. The shortest possible version I can give you is there was a meeting of the Board of Adjustments. There was a neighbor with a dog that jumps over fences, wants to build an 8-foot fence when you can only build a 6-foot fence, wants a variance. The next door neighbor does not want this to happen for whatever reason. And in the ensuing drama around their disagreement about whether to get a variance for this fence height in order to control the Mexican jumping dog, I call him that. It's not a Mexican dog, but it's funny. There was allegations about nudism. There was allegations about perversion, about re-aiming your camera from the back of the house where the murders happened in the past over to the neighbor's yard where the guy's got MRSA and other health conditions, so he has to work outside in the sun, and he starts sweating immediately, and he had MRSA when he showed up at the meeting, and apparently, and all. This is the stuff, okay? This is the stuff of local government at the Board of Adjustments meeting. All that led to the Hawthorns, which are the complaining party, the anti-fence people, apparently calling in favors with three different city council members, one the mayor and two city council members, two of whom showed up in the meeting, one wrote a letter, which is, to my mind, an incredible abuse of power. Like, you know, Brad Baker, okay, he's a county administrator, right? I'm not going to drag him into this, but I am. Imagine if he showed up at the Board of Adjustments meeting for the county and told them what to do in their vote. And two other county commissioners showed up and told them what to do. I mean, that is inappropriate. They should not be showing up. But Larry McKee, Heather Lindsay, and Marilyn Farrow, Marilyn wrote a letter, all tried to intervene on behalf of the Hawthorns against the fence. And then Heather writes this letter. Mayor Lindsay writes this letter in which she talks about all the inappropriate behavior at the Board of Adjustments, and maybe they need to be taught better, and they haven't gotten their skill training properly. And, you know, the one board member rolled her eyes at Larry McKee. How dare she? and the MRSA's running around and the allegations of misbehavior and all this. Okay, so this is the context in which she says, I'm not trying to disparage them, just maybe they need some training. Now, Cassie Powell, got to know the players. Casey Powell. I know Casey. It's funny. But anyway, Casey, the city councilman, honestly, in my opinion, of the remaining ones, the best one. I like Casey a lot. Casey's always very calm. He's always very diplomatic until he has something where he's worked up about. And then I have yet to see him be wrong about something. Okay. And Cassie is his wife. Cassie is not nearly as diplomatic. And so she shows up, and look, I want to apologize. I know the audio quality here is not awesome. They have a problem with their stand mic, their podium mic, for some reason. Milton. Anyway, so I'm going to do my best with this. But she shows up and says, Mayor, why were you pretending to be a lawyer at the Board of Adjustments meeting? You don't work for the city as a lawyer. Stay in your lane, lady.
I don't understand why I have to keep coming up here and saying you are the mayor. Why do you keep sending emails and talking to people in a legal capacity? Please explain that to me.
I'd be glad to talk with you separately.
I don't want to talk to you now. Well, I don't want to talk to you outside.
I don't want to talk to you outside. I want to talk to you now.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, ma'am, and Councilman Powell, being your husband, I'm especially troubled that you would feel that.
I'm speaking to you.
Yeah, what does that have to do with anything? The fact that he's your husband is, you're here as a citizen, right?
No, or anyone else.
Yes, ma'am, I was responding to your surprising comment that you're not comfortable speaking to me because we've known each other for years. So I think it's appropriate perhaps for us to maybe talk through an intermediary, because this is not a time for us to have a...
It is absolutely the time. This is the time. time for the citizens to come up and talk about things they like and don't like, which I am doing.
This is public forum. This is the time to talk about the stuff where there's a problem, right? And Heather tries to summarize to Casey what she thinks Cassie's point is that she doesn't want her acting like a lawyer when she's not really a lawyer. There's a little bit of back and forth drama. And then Cassie says, look, the problem here is you're still angry about getting let go as the attorney way back in the day.
We have a city attorney that's on staff. We don't need you as a city attorney. You were being replaced. You resigned. That's why you still will not stop bringing up 2018 and Brian Watkins. It was not his firing that was the issue. The issue was that the mayor stood up and told the council, the elected officials, that they could not and should not fire him. It was out of order in the meeting, and then they were going to RFQ her position. And then she resigned, and she's been angry. That's why she doesn't like Alex. That's why she didn't like any of the council. And it's starting to show.
See, everything's a long story. Everything's a long drama. It's a city of grievances, right? It's very much based on that. Oh, there's more to come. We might even have to have an episode 4. We might have to. We'll see. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
We just might as well stay all afternoon.
Just all Milton all day.
All right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10 eastbound experiencing some minor delays right around the Highway 29 exit. Also, Highway 29 southbound right around Kingsfield Road. Experiencing some minor delays there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Nobody wants to spend the money on a new roof, but everybody wants a good roof that's going to hold up in a storm and not get you dinged on your insurance and maybe cut down your insurance, right? I mean, nobody wants to buy a roof. Okay, well, here's the good news. Quality Roofing Solutions, they've been around since 2006, 19 years, 10,000 roofs. They're doing okay, 4.9 on Google. That's ridiculous. Very good. Brian Ward, the founder, they do all kinds of local charitable work, you know, Art Gateway and youth sports, big into youth sports as, you know, development for folks and also funding, like teaching about, you know, economic literacy kind of stuff in Santa Rosa County, all this stuff, okay? But as far as roofs go, the idea is we're just going to serve you and provide good roofs. We're going to talk to you like people. We're going to answer your questions, return your phone calls, and then we're going to do everything smart, and then we're going to, you know, warranty the roof for the lifetime of the roof, which is unheard of, absolutely unheard of. But in the process, we're going to take all kinds of photos so you can have before and after. So if you have to file an insurance claim, you know exactly what was done, all easily documented online so you don't have to keep the photos in some safe in your house just in case kind of stuff. Just, they do all the stuff right. So if you need a roof, give them a call. 777-0961, qualityroofingsolutions.com. All right, back to drama at the city council meeting in the city of Milton. Of course, Teresa Schreckengoss, now they're the dog owners, okay? And again, I apologize for the quality of the microphone. It's terrible. I've told them they're working on it. But she basically says, look, I don't know why Heather shows up at this meeting. And she certainly did not say she was the mayor. And how would I know? I'm new to town.
And I'm thinking before you today because in the packet, you have some information that I feel needs to be corrected that your mayor, who at the time of the adjustment meeting, did not identify herself.
You have this letter from the mayor that needs to be corrected, and your mayor shows up at the BOA meeting, which I think was very inappropriate, and I'm saying, and verging on unethical, frankly, if you have these, you know, again, the city council and the mayor show up at the Board of Adjustment meeting trying to tell them what to do. It's an ugly look. Anyway, so she says, I want an apology. I want a review of Mayor Lindsay. I want to know whether there were sunshine violations involved in three different city council members showing up suddenly on this issue.
I'm requesting a formal request for accountability, dear Mayor Lindsay. The Board of Justice meeting noticed serious concerns under Florida's Sunshine Law. Your email was unsubstantiated, contains slanderous allegations directly contradicted by the recorded evidence of the proceeding.
Your email that you wrote includes slanderous allegations against me.
Farther, your failure to clearly identify yourself in your official capacity as the mayor during the meeting demonstrates a lack of transparency and undermines the integrity of the process.
Failure to identify yourself as the mayor undermines transparency and interferes with the process itself. I mean, this is... Like, I don't want this woman angry at me because she's got her points on, right?
And that the mayor and three council members have gotten so intimately involved in a variance request to increase the height of our fence.
Three council members so intimately involved in a variance request.
The claim that I was angry or acted as I was entitled to a variance is completely inaccurate. I'm going to say that right now. You're misrepresenting the facts. And you're trying to dodge me into anything. Quite the opposite.
Misrepresenting the facts.
I have several communications information from the Freedom of Information Act, where there has been what appears to be collusion. There were 7 phone calls between the mayor and the Hawthorns to discuss the variance outside of the public meeting.
I've got documents evidencing collusion between the mayor and the Hawthorns about this question.
She also used her personal email to her work email and then sent something where the email was blank with the title Comprehensive Planning and Home Rule to the Board of Adjustment. Then she sends this letter to Spears and has it distributed all over. There's 2 communications between Councilmember Lee and Hawthorne. There are 10 communications. Sorry, I'm going to send it to them. I'm sorry. A home visit and an email sent to the Adjustment Board prior to the meeting and a social media post by you, Ms. Barrow, including explicitly telling the public to attend the meeting in opposition on my fence. To keep my dog safe.
So Marilyn Farrow goes online and advocates for people to come to this meeting. There's emails between Robert Leake and the Hawthorns. She's done her homework, right? Wade Schreckengast, which is the husband with the dog that wanted the variance.
She said.
And by the way, just for fact's sake, they got the variance approved with some conditions. Okay, so they won at the Board of Adjustments. But the way they were treated as newcomers to Milton, they were not happy about this.
She said that we didn't realize she was the mayor, which is absolutely true. She didn't identify herself and assumed, I guess, that everybody knew who she was. And she used her seemingly influence to get the board to maybe go her direction. She stated she was there in support of the neighbors against the Mets.
So, again, these Hawthorns somehow or other managed to get not one, not two, but 3 city council members to, in my opinion, inappropriately lobby the Board of Adjustments for the outcome in their favor. It's amazing.
For the mayor to take up again, it just speaks to maybe some collusion or people going against us using their power of influence.
Thank you, sir.
Going against us, collusion, using their power of influence. Again, Casey. This is actually the board member, city council member Casey Powell is now going to talk. And he's going to talk about this and why he doesn't go to the Board of Adjustment meetings, because he doesn't think it's appropriate to interfere. Right?
I honestly have zero opinion about the case. And there's a reason for that. I don't typically go to board meetings. And the reason for that is, no matter what I say at the podium, I'm a city council member. Period. You can't have it both ways. You can't say you're a city council member, you shouldn't act this way or that way on social media or on this, and then say you can show up and not be a city council member. I'm sorry, I don't agree. You can't have it both ways. Either you're a city council member 100% of the time or you're not.
And you are 100% of the time, whether you're in the grocery store or whether you're getting booked for DUI or, whatever the case may be. Not that anybody has. He used the example.
I guarantee you that tomorrow I got pulled over for drunk driving. I guarantee you everyone, the headlines would not say Casey Powell got pulled over for drunk driving. It would be City Councilman Powell DUI. Guarantee it. So I don't agree with that opinion.
And keep in mind that the context here that helps is the Milton City Council is looking at a code of conduct policy for all of their boards, their volunteer boards, that at least in the first versions of it was very political, punitive. You better talk nice about city council members. You better recognize our accomplishments. You better not be mean when you're at the podium. You better get along with other people, do your job, or else, or else, or else. I mean, it was incredibly inappropriate. And now it's been whittled down a lot since then. It's, I would say, less inappropriate now. I still think I have problems with it. But there's this atmosphere in Milton of retaliation and reprisal and control of the boards and the members who volunteer for them. And in the context of all of that, these board members have not one, but not two, but 3 city council members show up and try to tell them what to do and then write this long letter about how they don't do their jobs properly afterwards. And Casey's like, the BOA is supposed to be non-political. What are you doing?
Also, I don't understand. I understand this, wasn't supposed to be public record. However, any email that's sent to anyone by a public official is public record. So it's public record whether it got put on this agenda or not. And I will say I was concerned that it seems to me is that we're trying to admonish board members to vote a specific way. And if they don't, then there should be political pressure. And that's one of the concerns I have with the with, you know, some of the code of conduct things. I don't want there to feel like there's a it's politicized. And I think the Board of Adjustments being set up the way it is, it's one of the least political boards we have because it doesn't come to us if there's an issue. It goes somewhere else. There's no politics involved, or there shouldn't be.
Well, supposed to be. It actually, if you want to appeal the Board of Adjustment, you got to go to court. It doesn't come to the city. It's not the kind of board that gets reviewed by the city council. So Casey Powell finishes up and says, this is the problem with the code of conduct that we're looking at, which, by the way, is not on tonight's agenda. They've pushed that to the next workshop because it still needs some work. But this is, this whole thing reeks of influence politics. Who's your friend? Who do you know? Who can you call? Good old girls network. It's more them than the guys in this case. But still, this all looks horrible, especially to a brand new family who comes to Milton and is excited about their home, and all they want to do is build a little bit taller fence for their dog.
I think we have to be really careful not to put ourselves in a position where we politicize a volunteer board that is doing a job, whether we agree or disagree with their opinion. I mean, one of the code of conduct things is they're supposed to never disagree with the city council. That was one of the line items. So, you know, again, that this is why I find that political. And also, if we're allowed to chastise and disagree with their board, then why is it not okay for that board to say they got a problem with us?
Yeah. Remember how I said I like Casey? He always seems to say the right things. Okay, so to me, the entertaining part is all of the drama around the allegations of nudism and perversion and dogs, MRSA, racism, all that stuff. Okay. The real issue here, though, is whether it is inappropriate or even unethical for a mayor and two city council members to intrude on the Board of Adjustments and try to lobby them to go a certain way. If it was done just out of principle for defending the virtue of the city, that'd be one thing. But if it was done because a friend of theirs tried to call in political favors, and I don't know that that's true, but you kind of wonder what happened to make suddenly out of never ever that three city council members got into this fight on behalf of this one family. I mean, just because on principle they want to defend the city. Like, it's weird. Was there collusion? Was there sunshine violation? No evidence of any of that I know of. But these are the questions you ask because it was such a weird incident. 437-1620. We're not quite done, John. We're going to have an episode 3B.
3B. 3B. Love it.
Next hour, 3B. It'll be after we talk with the captain of the brand new vessel that came to town. The, was it the HK, the TX? TX-10000, which sounds like a Terminator designation.
It does.
We'll talk to him next hour. Anyway, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 7 to 9 minute delay through that construction zone. Avalon Boulevard southbound headed toward I-10 is backed up. Expect about a 10 to 12 minute congestion delay. And also Highway 90 is backed up as you're coming into Pensacola. It's backed up due to congestion. Expect about a 10 to 12 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
How do you handle stress, worry, or anxiety? If we're not careful, those times of anxiety can rip us apart from the inside. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us how to deal with worry. And he doesn't say just forget about it or that it'll go away by itself, nor does he say that we should run from it. Instead, Jesus tells us to take it one day at a time. He points out the nonsense of worrying about things we cannot control. Jesus reminds us that God cares for the birds of the air, and he says to you that you are more important to him than many sparrows. God calls us to throw the whole weight of our anxieties on him and allow his spirit to fill our hearts with perfect peace as he handles the many things that are out of our control. I encourage you, rest in Jesus today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
You hear that? That's Mike sleeping soundly on a Sunday night. That's because Mike was smart this time. He took ZzzQuil Ultra to fall asleep fast, stay asleep longer, and get the deeply restorative sleep he needs. So now he wakes up refreshed and ready to conquer Mondays.
Let's do this Monday.
ZzzQuil Ultra. Not for colds, just for sleep. Really great sleep. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth in innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
There's a new pet.
Chia.
Chia Pet, the pottery that grows.
I call the whole
You know what I just realized, John? I feel like I'm a host of one of these true crime podcasts where for the next 23 hours, we're going to explain to you what happened during that 1 hour span of time.
Exactly.
That's how Milton is. It's like it takes forever to explain all this stuff. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline for us. David?
Well, two GOP senators are launching an investigation into Southern California and the Palisades fire. Senators Ron Johnson of Wisconsin and Rick Scott here in Florida say the investigation will look into failures surrounding their preparation and response to the disaster.
Sheriff Simmons up next.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Maryland Governor Wes Moore says he wants to serve a second term in the deep blue state. This from his YouTube video this morning.
We are moving forward fast across the state and across party lines to prove to a dysfunctional Washington that there is a better way forward.
Many see the governor's potential 2028 presidential candidate, but he said a few days ago he's not running for president. President Trump addressing the murder of Irina Zarudska, killed in a light rail train August 22nd in Charlotte, calling the suspect a madman and a lunatic. Charlotte Councilman Edwin Peacock III.
I hope this wakes up a conversation not just around the mental health topic, which has certainly been talked about a lot, but we have to actually follow that with actions. And as sad as this tragedy is, I hope that it will shine a bright light on it.
A Republican on Fox Center First, and Minnesota defeats Chicago 27-24 Monday Night Football. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 73 degrees right now, sunshine. It's a beautiful day here in Pensacola. Well, residents and businesses in Brent are reportedly grappling with, wild hogs roaming on Mason Lane.
I've seen about 10 pigs, about 10 hogs, and they run up and down the street all morning.
That is Juanita Lindsay. She's the director of the WizKids Christian Academy that's located nearby and describes them as being hairy hogs and a scary sight to see. Now, some residents tell Channel 3 they've reported their concerns to Escambia County Animal Control, but so far they don't believe they've seen a lot of action. The county says the hogs likely originated from the old Beggs Lane homeless camp area, which when it was cleaned out, Animal Control did recover several animals, including one large 200-pound pig. The county says it's currently working with its livestock officer and partners to remove those animals. So far, one pig has been captured. Florida's new Second Amendment sales tax holiday is now in effect. It was announced earlier this year by Governor Ron DeSantis.
No sales tax on the retail sale of firearms, ammunition, accoutrements, as well as items used for fishing or camping.
And that continues until the end of the year. The Second Amendment sales tax holiday suspends sales tax on items essential for hunting, like firearms, fishing poles, camping, and allows for savings on a range of products. Get more information on it at the Department of Revenue website. The town of Century's now approved their tentative budget of $9.2 million for the upcoming fiscal year. Along with a property tax rate that represents a decrease for the town. The council set the millage rate at 0.9204, which is unchanged from previous years at 7.85% lower than the rolled back rate of 0.9988 mills. The rate will still generate approximately $59,680 in property tax revenue for the town. The budget and tax rate were approved unanimously with a 4-0 vote at Monday's meeting. Councilmember John Bass was not there. Well, you might have seen an interesting ship at the Port of Pensacola, a one-of-a-kind heavy-lift salvage ship. Taking a break from the rough waters in the Gulf of America yesterday, pulling into the Port of Pensacola, it's the TX-10000. 250 feet tall, it's used for salvage missions in open waters, and the last time it was in Pensacola was back in 2019. Of course, the captain of that vessel will be on with Andrew here in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. The third annual Rock for Vets 5K happening in Pensacola this weekend. That's scheduled for Saturday morning, starts at 7:30 and starts at Community Maritime Park. All of the proceeds generated from the event go to help homeless and struggling veterans here in our area. It's $40 per person to run. There's also, of course, live music, food vendors, and family activities. Well, three people were seriously injured in a crash on 9th Avenue in Pensacola yesterday. That happened about 8 p.m. PPD said three victims were being trauma alerted to a local hospital. 9th Avenue was closed last night between Keating and Creighton. As of this morning, it appears the road is reopened. There's no update, though, on the victim's condition as of yet. 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. But if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 10 to 12 minute delay. Also, Avalon Boulevard southbound headed toward I-10. Expect a 7 to 9 minute delay. And Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, I'm seeing about a 10-minute delay there. Also, Highway 29 headed southbound, you're going to see some delays around 10-mile road, so be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to have a lovely day today with a small 10% chance of rain, high near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 71. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 88. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 70. Going into Thursday, sunny skies, high near 88 degrees and a low near 68. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
We've got 72 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Your next news at 8 o'clock and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Europe's auto giants are embarking on a product blitz at the IAA Mobility Conference, a major car show in Munich. Volkswagen, BMW, and Renault have all announced new models, seeking to hold on to market share as Chinese players rapidly make inroads on their home turf. Shares of Nebius Group have soared more than 60% after the provider of NVIDIA graphic chips for training artificial intelligence models said it signed an agreement with Microsoft worth up to $19.4 billion over 5 years. Nebius said this is the first time it signed a long-term contract with a large tech company and that more are likely to come. Cognition said it has closed a $400 million funding round at a valuation of $10.2 billion. The startup is the creator of an artificial intelligence software engineer called Devin. In July, Cognition acquired AI coding startup Windsurf. Futures are slightly higher. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 114. That's your money now.
Down, set, hush! We're kicking off for the season at Sonny's Barbecue. Whether you're tailgating at the big game or sharing a meal with friends, it's always Sonny's. Enjoy the new fall menu with Maple Barbecue Smoked Turkey Club or Maple Barbecue Pork Burn-Ins. How about some sweet potato waffle fries or even our new pecan pie egg rolls? And don't forget the platter of slow-smoked chicken wings. Come see us at Sonny's with four locations in the News Radio area, Pace, 9th Avenue, Navy Boulevard, and Pine Forest. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Just download our News Radio Pensacola app. Then tap that app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. Tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see what you're doing to me?
That I would sign this controversial thing, though, we've got almost a 3-1 majority in the Florida House of Representatives. 38 states have open carry. It's not something that's controversial. The sky hasn't fallen in any of those. You know, why not pass that out of the Florida House of Representatives? And I've said for years that that'd be something that I would sign. Doesn't seem to get off the ground, even with all those Republicans all running, saying their Second Amendment, all banging their chests in the primaries, then get up to Tallahassee and not follow through. So I think they should just follow through.
Governor DeSantis yesterday announcing the beginning of the week-long tax holiday for hunting and guns and ammunition. So he also says, I believe in open carry. I, Andrew McKay, also believe in open carry. I've lived in two states that had it. I didn't think it was a big deal, but we do always like to check with our law enforcement officers because I know they also have views and they're ultimately the ones that have to deal with all the nuts and all the mixed nuts that make up the great residents of Escambia and Santa Rosa County. So, Chip Simmons.
Good morning.
Welcome
Speaking
back.
Of nuts.
Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. You know, chest thumping or other. I know you and I have talked about this before because we talk a lot about these things, but open carry, support, don't support? What's your, do you have a take? Do you have a position?
I very much support a Second Amendment supporter, I think that there are some things that you have to consider. Officer safety is certainly one of those things. I know that we talked a lot about a connection between people that are dealing drugs and people that are carrying weapons, and I feel that open carry is going to cause more of that, when that combination of drugs and guns. I know that a couple years ago, whenever we were talking about the constitutional carry, which we have now,
permitless concealed carry, right?
Yeah. Basically, you can have one as long as you're
would be
concealed.
Eligible. Mm-hmm.
And there's some other considerations as you just mentioned, but we talked a lot about what open carry would mean to in the law enforcement community, and we all come to. I'm not going to speak for other sheriffs, but I'll speak for myself and my understanding of our conversations and what that means is that we want to see exactly what that means. Let's look at these other states. Where do they allow it and where do they not allow it? Because they're even constitutional carry, you still can't carry it everywhere. So am I concerned about it? No, it's not something that's going to keep me up at night. But it's certainly something that I would like to take a look at the legislation, look at who can and can't, and in what capacities can you carry it and where. So I guess just a mention by the governor and something that he might want to push the House of Representatives is not something that I'm going to immediately start to champion one way or the other.
And it has not gone anywhere. He's right. It hasn't really gotten off the ground in the last several years, which that kind of keep trying. From my own view, I would like us to have less restrictions on where we can take it because I feel like I'm a good guy with a gun. And everywhere I have to not take one is a place that's more vulnerable because of that. And it's also inconvenient, gun here, gun not there, all that kind of stuff. But I've lived in two states, Oregon and Arizona, that had open carry. And it was weird at first. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, okay.
Well, I want to say Tennessee may have it.
There's several. I can't remember. There's several that have it.
And being surprised.
Alabama has
people
it.
Walking around. Yeah.
Alabama now has open
carry. People
walking
around just with a gun out in the open. And it would take some getting used to. Mm-hmm. You're correct.
Other things that are
and
going
hopefully
on.
Some training.
What's that?
And hopefully some training.
I'm all for it.
The people that carry it.
Hey, we're training the kids in school on basic gun safety in terms of not picking up a gun that they stumble across. And then, teach your citizens how to shoot and operate a gun and be safe with it. I mean, I just think that, and because many of them are not. Just because you buy one doesn't mean you you should be shooting it. There's a lot of people that need better safety training, that's for sure.
Right.
You had a burglary arrest. Is this yesterday? Is that right?
Well, we had a couple, actually. The one that I'm talking about happened overnight. I just got the report on it. In the area of Ventura Lane and Waverly Drive, got a report of a burglary in progress, and we get there. Some people that were apparently trying to break into and ultimately ended up breaking into some vehicles. When we get there, our deputies did a good job. They didn't see anyone initially, but they found a backpack that looked like it had been stolen from a truck. And then one of our deputies located the two suspects who were walking around, claiming they were minding their own business. However, they were on the Ring camera doing some burglaries, and we ended up arresting two individuals for the burglaries. Actually, two burglaries we ended up charging them with, and they're also suspects in other burglaries. So that's a good job by the deputies getting there. They didn't catch them in the act, but they caught them leaving the scene of the crime. And again, the witness statements and the Ring cameras substantiated the fact that they were both guilty, or they were suspected, and we had probable cause to believe they committed the burglaries. We also arrested a couple people. Dave Howell Tires is a tire store up off of 29, I think, north, right around 10 Mile Road.
Okay.
Maybe 9.5 Mile Road. We get a call over the, I think about 2 days ago, that there was someone that looked like they were breaking into Dave Howell Tires. Our deputies found the suspect hiding behind a church nearby, talked to him, and then investigators interviewed him, ended up going to a house, retrieved some of the stolen property from a previous burglary of Dave Howell Tires, and we also arrested another individual. So over the weekend and yesterday, we arrested, I guess, four burglars, two for vehicular burglaries and two for business burglaries. So doing a good job out there at night while we're sleeping.
What, if you had to rough guess it, what percentage of your cases is Ring doorbell either involved or vital or useful or, you know, I would have to guess it's, at least a quarter, maybe as many as half. But what, you tell me, you know better.
I'd venture to say, especially in property crimes, vehicular burglaries and what we're talking about now, residential or business burglaries, I would say it's near as 50%.
Yeah.
There's some video where if it's not the victim's home, it's something that we can get from a neighbor.
Right.
Or there's almost always a business nearby. And that's why I'm so big on technology. That's why I'm so big on the real-time crime center and using license plate readers and these cameras that are in some areas, because we can say, hey, it looks like this particular car was going through this one area. And sometimes it doesn't pan out. Sometimes they were just happen to be,
right,
you know, driving through. But if you put two and two together, you know, it oftentimes equals four in relation to who we arrest and how we're able to bring about some successful resolutions of these crimes.
We're talking to Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. John Pickens, that's Traffic on the Fives.
I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29. Expect about a 15 to 20-minute delay through that construction zone. Also, Highway 90 southbound is backed up. Expect about a 20-minute delay just due to congestion. No accidents there. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. You mentioned technology, Sheriff. And, of course, you know that the city of Pensacola is getting ready to put in license plate readers, although they've had them on cars forever. I mean, you were the chief of police, you know. Gulf Breeze is putting them in. They've got a trailer and also some on fixed location. Same thing. I know you've kind of been reluctant to talk a lot about these for sort of obvious reasons, but just give me a citizen's sense of how often license plate readers really materially assist you in thwarting, preventing, or solving crimes from your perspective. Because we know the Ring doorbells. I know that's private individuals doing that, and that's, you know, I mean, people do what they do, and that's fine. And they involve a lot of cases. License plate readers, how significant have they been for law enforcement for you?
Yeah, we've been doing this for years now.
Yeah.
Ever since I was a sheriff, and as you mentioned, even when I was police chief, we were starting to really get into the license plate readers. Again, these are on roadways, public roadways, where driving is a privilege,
yeah,
and not a right. But I will tell you that probably around 25%, but some of the bigger cases, recently we had a case where someone stole money. There was a jugging incident where they followed an individual and they stole some money
after
that
bank
they had
or
just picked up from the bank or a business, or they were about to make a deposit. We ultimately ended up getting on that case within, I think, 30 minutes. We were able to catch them over in Fort Walton through the license plate readers. We were able to put that vehicle here in Escambia County at the scene of the crime. We identified the vehicle, and then we put that through our partners in other counties. And this individual was picked up right over there in Santa Rosa County. I'm sorry, in Fort Walton Beach area. So we would have never been able to do that had it not been for the license plate readers. And there's a number of cases like that where we immediately go to the real-time crime center, the analysts down there, and say, this is the crime, this is where it took place, and they know exactly what they're doing. They look at this intersection, that intersection, and they put it out for others. They try to figure out where this vehicle has been, you know, more often, more frequently. And then they can sometimes it leads us to their home, sometimes it leads us to their place of business, and sometimes it leads us to them, you know, where they actually are. So I again, probably nearing 25%. I think ultimately we're going to get close to 50%, as I mentioned, with the Ring doorbells or the home defense type door surveillance.
And especially the high profile cases. I mean, I was thinking about like the Bonnie and Clyde incident from a couple of years ago.
Right.
Billy
Boyette.
Boyette, right. Right. That, you know, you knew they attacked this woman in Alabama. They took her car. Well, now you got a license plate. And if you got that to put in, you know, you can maybe get on them right quick instead of having to wait and go look in the woods and all that kind of. Like, those are the kind of crimes where people are traveling. They're on the roads. They're in a known car. You know, you can pretty quickly plug that information in and use it to find somebody if need be, or at least get close to where they're going to be, right?
Yeah, in that case, that person was going to steal a car, but we also felt like he wasn't going to keep that car for long.
Yeah.
Right? He was going to steal it and leave. But so we were able to quickly put that information into, again, our network. And in that case, we had a relationship with Alabama authorities as well. So, and then we figured out that he was what? That we worked with our Lamar Sign Company. They had billboards all throughout the Southeast.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to find him in Mississippi. So I think that was, that was even in the early stages of where technology is. And you know, the Escambia County Sheriff's Office itself, we have well over 50 license plate readers. We have well over 50 cruiser cars that have license plate readers in them also. We're about to start phase two in Pensacola Beach, putting some cameras, not really license plate readers, although we do have some on the beach. These are going to be cameras that are going to handle the area, Casino Beach area. So we're going to have some video surveillance in that parking lot area feeding directly into our real-time crime center to supplement what we already have on the boardwalk side. So Pensacola Beach is going to be the public area is going to be pretty much covered with cameras. So these are things that we have at the sheriff's office. But again, think about this. We're partnering with the Pensacola Police Department, who actually have a couple of employees embedded in our real-time crime center. They're going to get, 18, I think, is the number of license plate readers.
I remember, yeah.
Santa Rosa County has a number of them. Again, all of our partners, as they continue to build their capacity, then that makes us even greater. Even though it doesn't cost us any more money, you know, Pensacola Police Department's got a grant to get their cameras, so that supplements what we do, because people don't care if they're in the city limits or out throughout the county. So I think the more license plate readers, the better detailed picture we get of a suspect vehicle.
You know, one of the stories we didn't talk yet about, but you had a guy who, I guess, got into a domestic dispute with his girlfriend or ex-girlfriend at a Valero and wound up being shots fired over, $60 he took from her? And
snatched
then
some money from an ex-woman that he had a relationship with, so it was domestic violence. We ended up arresting him. He was found in a wooded area nearby, claimed he was just, you know, taking a leak and all this nonsense, scratched by thorns and all that.
Happened to have the money.
All these $20 bills that looked like they had been just snatched from a friend of theirs.
Fresh snatch marks on them.
Yeah. So we end up arresting him, charging him with aggravated assault.
But, I mean, he's firing a gun up in the air to scare people. I mean, it's not firing at him, but it's still, you can't do that.
Well, he's committed a crime, and then he's firing a weapon.
He's got a past, right? He's got a history.
Absolutely has a history, yeah. Shouldn't have a gun in the first place. Shouldn't be fighting. Shouldn't be snatching weapons. Shouldn't be hiding in the woods.
Yeah, all the things. I did want to, this is totally off topic, but I happened to drive by Leonard Street the other day, and I drove by your offices, and I know I didn't stop in and say hi, but, you know, you're busy.
Yes. I was in Tallahassee, actually.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay, we'll get to that in a second. I had not seen the memorial, which has been there for, about 6 months?
Probably May. Yeah,
okay.
Late May.
It's really nice. I mean, it looks really good. I'm not trying to be surprised, but I love it. It's so much better than the old one, and you automatically notice it when you're driving by, and when you're walking into the office. It's the memorial to fallen officers. You can't help but notice it, which is a really nice reminder of the cost, potentially, of being a cop, the importance of devotion, and what people have paid to be, you know, to make our streets safe. So kudos. It's really fantastic.
I'm glad you said that, and I can't help. Every time someone brings it up, I want to want to talk about. I won't talk about it at length here, but I think that what we wanted was it to be a focal point. There were so many times that people didn't realize that we even had a memorial out front.
That's right.
And so we, if you noticed, we have two sides to it. The wall side, there's a big star in the middle, and then the other side is like some stadium-type seating. So the thought there is that when people do tours, they can go out there. We've used it for our Blazer Academy. We've taken pictures there.
Oh,
we've
nice, done things. Yeah.
And my hope and my thought is that someone will be sitting on that side and you can't help but look across and see this huge wall. And even if you're a small child, you may ask the question, what is that? Who are those mm-hmm. people on that wall? And that allows people to say, these are people that sacrificed their all for where we are. So we're very proud of it. We're continuing to work on that whole area up there.
Paid for by the foundation, Plaza. Not by
exactly.
taxpayer
not,
funds.
Not a single dollar was paid by taxpayer dollars. It was paid through the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation. We talk a lot about the fundraising efforts of the foundation so that we don't have to use general fund dollars, so that right. I can keep that money going to boots on the ground and that sort of thing. So I appreciate that's exactly the look that we wanted, and we couldn't be more proud of what the donation really from the foundation and what the community can now experience.
Last thing, we're almost out of time, sorry. But you were in Tallahassee yesterday. We know Santa Rosa was in Tallahassee getting an award for their Bloodhound Unit. Your office was there getting an award for Missing Persons Unit in general, right?
In general, yeah. The John and Reeve Walsh Award, I call it the Award for Excellence because they talked about Escambia County Sheriff's Office and all the things that we have done throughout the year. And just to listen to him talk, it kind of made me smile because I'm so proud of the efforts that we have at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. People have no idea how many missing persons that we actually get. Habitual runaways, and then there's some children that are missing. There's a lot of them were custodial or mm-hmm. Former relationships, but some of them are just difficult to hear about. I mean, at the end of this ceremony, if anyone's ever been there, I know you're about to cut me off, but I think that
I would never.
That what they do is they have all these families that have shirts, and many times they have the child's picture on them, and then they'll come up and they'll get a rose and they'll put it in front of the picture. It's heartbreaking to put yourself in that situation of what a parent or a family member must go through with a missing child.
Because, I mean, hundreds of times a year, this is a routine thing that you guys deal with, is that all the various categories, silver, not as frequent amber, but right. habitual runaways all the time.
Yeah, but I mean, and again, there is an individual taken from a family, yeah. whether it is a stranger kidnapping, which fortunately is very, very rare. But there are a lot of cases where there are people that take them and they're not supposed to.
Yeah.
And then they may never see them again, and that's some of the things that they've seen there. So our missing person unit, again, congratulations to them. John and Reeve Walsh Award for Excellence for the entire state of Florida.
Nice. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, a pleasure. Thank you for the time. Thanks for keeping us safe. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
All right. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. I would never cut him off.
Oh, that's sweet. Oh, brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Let's see here. We've got a couple accidents to let you know about over in, the Pace area, P Ridge, Highway 90 and Bostic Lane. We've got a roadblock there. The accident just happened, so be aware of that. Also, I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29, seeing some major delays. Also, Highway 90 southbound headed toward Pensacola. You're going to see about a 10 to 12 minute delay there. And also 98 westbound headed toward Garcon Point Bridge. Expect about a 10-minute delay through that construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Bands on the Beach is presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority and happens every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion. You are invited to bring a blanket and a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, check out Count the Years. They're a high-energy cover band that takes audiences on a musical journey through the decades, from synthesized 80s to today's chart toppers. It's all happening at Bands on the Beach. You'll be dancing and singing along all night. Just remember, no pets or glass allowed.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season. Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Going vertical, so am I.
We're going ballistic, man. Go get him.
.758 News Radio 92.3. We're going to talk to the captain of that cool new ship you see at the port coming up next, and episode 4 for Days of Our Milton. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home in or not in Milton, and you need help, advice that you don't want to understand, you know, hey, is this a good time to buy? Is this a bad time to buy? Should I wait 6 months, 2 months, a year? What about rentals? Are you making money on them, not making money on them? I mean, you know, all the questions. Well, don't ask me. You know, ask Christine Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. Her folks are fantastic. They sold 165 homes last year. They just routinely sell, list, make money, help people get the best deals. Even if you're buying a new home, you might think, why would I want a real estate agent for buying a new home? She can help you with that, too, in a variety of ways. Call her and ask her, what can you do for me? And she'll tell you. 786-3996 for Christine Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. Loves making new friends and talking about real estate. Give her a call. Tell her I said so.